Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormones Podcast. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, and I'm so excited to have you here for episode 151, chatting all things brain fog and fatigue and how it's impacting your life. What things can we do about it? How can we improve it? How can we focus more at work because we're not so fatigued? How can we get more done throughout our day because we're not struggling with afternoon fatigue? It's interesting because I just did a Instagram poll about fatigue, going who's got morning fatigue, who's got afternoon fatigue, who's got all day fatigue. And it is a really common thing to see that a lot of you guys are struggling with afternoon fatigue or all day fatigue. But I had a client this morning who said that she can sleep 8 to 9 hours and still wake up tired. And that is actually not abnormal at all. Anyway, before we jump into that, for those who don't know much about me or the way I work, my main program is the Root Cause program. That's where I spend 6 months with women going through all the, I guess we call all the root causes of what is causing their symptoms. So we use functional stool testing, which looks at your microbiome, so the good and bad bacteria, leaky gut, inflammatory markers, all the things that are contributing to, quote unquote, all those unrelated symptoms. So through stool testing, through SIBO breath testing, if we suspect you have a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, through Dutch comprehensive hormone testing, or through saliva testing, and also some functional blood work, we really nut out what actually is going on with your health and start to put all the pieces of the puzzle together over that 6 months time frame to make changes to your microbiome, make changes to your hormones, make changes to your nutrition, the way you eat, your blood sugar levels, support those periods, and have you having amazing healthy periods. So that's a little bit about the Root Cause program. That is the best way to get answers if you do feel like you've been struggling for symptoms for a long time and you've tried a lot of things, because the women I work with generally are quote unquote healthy women, and they are doing things or putting time and effort and energy into their health without getting the results that are really reflective of how much work they're putting in. So today, like I said, I want to chat about brain fog and fatigue and how it's impacting your life, and just a bit of help on it to get to the root cause of what could be causing your fatigue. So fatigue is pretty multidimensional. So in a sense, there's so many elements that can add to fatigue. And so with brain fog, I would like to slightly differentiate and say that brain fog, personally, I've found it's more been a side effect of things like a candida overgrowth. So it's more an inability. There are elements of tiredness to it, but it's this inability to concentrate properly. Like you can't think clearly. I got it a couple of weeks ago when I had jet lag flying back from Canada and the United States, where I'd spent a couple months back to Australia. And I found that the first day, it's not that I hadn't slept, because I had slept and I was tired, but not extremely tired. It was just like my ability to concentrate. I felt like I was walking through a fog going, I just can't make ends meet right now. Actually, the other time I had it was 2 days ago, where I got a heap of dry needling done through my hips and lower back. So I do a lot of road cycling, a lot of mountain bike riding. I'm hoping to go back to Canada later this year to go do some mountain bike riding. And so I get really tight hip flexors, which a lot of people get also from training. Like I do find in the gym, if I'm not conscious with glute activation and things, it will flare up the hips a bit. But I got a heap of needling done, and when I got up from the bed, and you probably had this after a massage as well, where you've been lying face down for an hour with your face kind of squished in that little hole thing. And I literally could not like she was telling me exercises, and I felt like I was half asleep. Like, I just felt so groggy. And that's kind of what I think of brain fog. Like I said, generally it actually comes more from a gut or a yeast overgrowth, those sides of things, as opposed to fatigue is slightly different in the sense that when I'm talking about fatigue, I talk about poor blood sugar regulation, hormonal imbalances, lack of sleep, if that's a factor, or not getting those like deep enough REM sleeps, getting to those deep REM sleep cycles, which if you've got an Oura Ring or you're tracking sleep, you'd know. Exercise, if your recovery is poor, if your nutrition's poor, adrenal burnout can be a factor. But there is also lots of ways you can test these things to sort of understand what areas you are struggling with. So I just want to touch on those main kind of points today so that you can go through them as almost a checklist in your head and be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's probably something that I'm doing that might be contributing to my fatigue. So blood sugars is a big one. If you're not balancing your meals, so if you're skipping meals, if you're eating carb-rich meals, if you're not eating enough carbohydrates in a meal, you're going to get these fluctuations in blood sugars, okay? So you want to be eating protein, carbs, and fats with every meal. My sort of ballpark ratio that I give the women inside the Root Cause program once they've done a bit of the SIBO and foundational work and they can tolerate more carbs again without getting bloated, I'd say try and aim for that 2-to-1 ratio. So that means 60 grams of carbs to about 30 grams of protein. And at a ballpark, that's sort of where we like to get to. Where women in a cut, then they might just be doing 1-to-1. Like if they are competing or are looking at losing a little bit of weight, you might just sort of match that in a lower carbohydrate diet, but it's not a long-term approach. It's not something I would do regularly. So when you eat, sugars are absorbed into your bloodstream, which leads to an increase in blood sugar levels. This increase in blood sugar levels signals your pancreas to release a surge of insulin. Insulin helps to reduce that blood sugar level, so from the food. So you've eaten a lolly, blood sugar levels go up, body produces insulin, and insulin will bring that blood sugar levels down. Excess insulin in your blood will cause that blood sugar level to drop dramatically when there's too much, leading to fatigue and an increase in stress hormone. So if you eat a heap of sugar, then your body puts out a heap of insulin, then your blood sugar drops all the way back down, and then that's going to lead to fatigue. And that's where you get that peak, like that rise up from, say, the afternoon chocolate bar, and then you do crash back down again. And that's going to increase cortisol and that stress-based response. So that's going to put extra pressure onto your adrenal glands. Now, with our blood sugar low, this is when that hunger cravings can strike. So that's why then you reach for it again to get that rise again, and then you get that drop again. Okay, so you're kind of going through these cycles. My recommendation to balance your blood sugar, if you're eating simple sugars, have them with a prebiotic fiber, which is going to lower that blood sugar response and keep those hunger hormones at bay. So eat, say, a piece of fruit rather than lollies on a base level is going to help because it's got fiber in it, whereas honey or lollies are a direct glucose into your system. One step up again would be to have that with your protein. So have your fruit. So it might be have an apple, but have it with some hard cheese. Have some jerky with your banana. Have some pancetta with your melon. Okay, so have a little bit of a balance in your meals, which is why I say we have a yogurt with fruit, because it's going to make you feel so much better and increase that satiety and stop that blood sugar drop. I also do recommend you eat regularly, like every 3 to 4 hours. I would eat more regularly than that. I'd probably eat like every 2, depending on what my day looks like. But I find I feel better on smaller, more regular meals rather than be like large spread out ones. But because I have adrenal PCOS, I do find my body needs those carbohydrates, but it also needs a regular sort of influx of energy coming in. I just feel a lot better that way. But everyone's slightly different. But just making sure you're eating regularly and balancing those meals is going to be really, really important. So no fasting, no skipping meals, no caffeine on an empty stomach, no being too busy all day you're not eating. It is important to eat. Hormones also play a role in that fatigue. So cortisol can affect sleep and cause fatigue. The other one coming out of the adrenal glands is DHEA, which helps balance cortisol. So if cortisol's high, the body will try and pump out more DHEA to balance that cortisol. Now, this cortisol response is really tricky. So unless you've done a Dutch hormone response or you've done a saliva test, it's hard to know exactly what's going on with the cortisol in the body. So when you have that test result, then you can go, hey, I've got low cortisol all over the day. That's why I'm sleeping all day and waking up tired and feeling tired. But sometimes you can have a burnt out. So the client I saw this morning had a burnt out adrenal gland. So it's called metabolized cortisol. It wasn't pushing out any cortisol, but she had a lot of free circulating cortisol. So her body was trying to keep whatever little was left active in her body because she was go, 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 go. But the adrenal glands just were like, well, we're shutting down this production because you're crazy and we give you anything and you're going to do 10 million things. You're going to work, you're going to gym, you're going to exercise, you're going to meal prep, you're going to race around, you're going to do jobs for everyone, you're going to clean, and you're not going to sit down for 5 minutes and to chill out. That is when it starts to shut down production. PTSD, long-term stress, chronic stress coming from, you know, finances, kids, families, A-type personalities, those kind of things are what are going to burn out your adrenal glands. So you want to have a look at that response and go, hey, am I not peaking in the morning and then I pick up later in the day? Because that's another really common pattern I see, is that women wake up, they're sort of slow to start, but then by 5, 6 p.m. they get this second wind and then they feel really good, but then they can't wind down at night. So then you're trying to target that ashwagandha or wenthania or things at night, valerian, to bring that response down and calm the nervous system. But then you also want a little bit of ginseng or herbs in the morning to try and pick up that response a bit. Things like licorice can be helpful, herbal licorice, depending as to whether your body favors cortisone or cortisol, because licorice will help change that response a bit. So cortisol definitely plays a role. Adrenals, that whole fatigue element can play a role. If you are waking up tired, you have an element of adrenal fatigue. If you have adrenal fatigue, you need to think about supporting your adrenal glands. So that means things, and let me just run through these symptoms first actually. Constant tiredness, body aches or pain, high energy in the evening, brain fog, low mood, increased reactivity to stress. So you can't handle small stresses well, as in something might happen, like someone like bump into your car at the car park and there's a tiny scratch and you have a huge overreaction, or someone pulls out in front of you in traffic, or a bill unexpectedly comes and there's a whole like response to that. Rather than sitting there calmly and managing, go, okay, what does this look like? How am I going to work it out? What's going to happen? What's the next step? You can't calmly address something. You're just hyper-reactive to it. Lightheadedness, waking up at 2 to 4 a.m. when that cortisol starts to play around again. Anxiety, cravings for high sugar, high sodium foods, and digestive issues as well. So that's kind of your adrenal fatigue element. And that plays into those hormones, or we're looking at DHEA and cortisol and working out what's going on there. You do need to support your adrenal glands, and that looks like, one, the blood sugar stuff I talked about, adequate minerals, so your Aussie trace mineral drops or your iHerb trace mineral drops are key here. Your adrenal cocktail is really, really important, so having the orange juice, those minerals, your collagen, so a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat, so your coconut milk or your regular milk, and whisking that together. That I do have recipes of that on my Instagram, or DM me if you want the recipe, or you can Google Ray Pete adrenal cocktail. That's the guy who did the research on it. That side of things, your vitamin C is really, really important for your adrenal glands, and getting adequate protein in your diet. So those things are all really important when it comes to adrenal health. And that's what's going to support cortisol production. But yes, herbs can help, like I chatted about, but you can't out eat or out supplement stress. Okay, so you need to be really mindful of the fact that if you are in a stress-based environment, you're going to really, really struggle to fix these things. Okay, so you have to consider, okay, what does my day-to-day look like? If I am super stressed day-to-day and I'm trying to supplement out of that, is that going to work? No, that's not going to work. Okay, so you need to first address, am I sleeping enough? What does my exercise routine look like? Who am I spending my time with? Do I have adequate boundaries? What does my nervous system feel like? What is my exercise routine? What is my post-recovery from exercise? When am I eating? Do I have any downtime? Am I reading books? Am I journaling? All those things are really, really important when addressing your adrenal health. You need to address your lifestyle, okay? If that means pulling back on work short term, that might be something you need to consider while you get your body back in check, because you can't change somebody without changing their environment. And I think that's like the key aspect of this whole fatigue thing, is if you just keep going and pushing, and whether it's exercise or family or work, if you just keep going and going and going, you're not going to be able to heal yourself, no matter how many herbs you throw at yourself and no matter how much nutrients or minerals, okay? So you do need to address that nervous system, and you do need to address that overall response. So if you're feeling tired but wired, you can't wake up without a strong coffee, you crave sugar, especially late in the day, you get sick when you're under stress, you feel irritable or anxious, or you're constantly stressed out, please go and get some hormone testing done. Go and have a look at the dried urine comprehensive hormone test. So the Dutch test, have a look at saliva testing, work with someone like myself, someone who's qualified in looking at that adrenal response and going, hey, you've probably got adrenal fatigue, or you're just a little bit overwhelmed or high stress at the moment. And that is going to impact your hormones. That is going to impact your gut health. Now, the other thing to consider is sleep. So you do need to be getting 7 to 8 hours sleep, getting up with the sun, going to bed at a decent hour, so between 9 to 10 p.m. and getting that quality sleep time. But if you are sleeping and are still tired, remember that is a sign of adrenal fatigue. So it may not necessarily be the lack of sleep. Like, there's the general base, if I don't sleep for a full night, I'm going to be tired. But that doesn't give me brain fog and ongoing fatigue. I recover and I get those hours back. If you struggle to sleep, things like herbal tea valerian, that's why my words went on the end. The herb valerian, which you can take as herbal tea or you can take as tablets, is what I would recommend. Magnesium glycinate, I like around 400 to 600 milligrams at night, will help you sleep. Passion flower can be quite calming. Ashwagandha with Dania can be good on that nervous system response as well. Sorry, on that cortisol response. Valerian work on the nervous system, ashwagandha more on cortisol. So you can start to play around with them. Some people love using melatonin for sleep. Now, I am really, really cautious of using too much melatonin for sleep because it impacts dopamine. So I would prefer you use melatonin for jet lag or getting into a healthy sleeping pattern, but I would err towards valerian or passion flower if you're a stress head, an A-type, and you need to calm that nervous system, or using your magnesium glycinate or your ashwagandha. I'm going to sneeze. Sorry. That was a very weird sneeze. Work on those in actually calming that cortisol response. The other thing to think about, so that's your blood sugar levels, that's your sleep, that's your hormones, that's your adrenal fatigue side of things. The other thing I think you should really should consider when it comes to fatigue is post-exercise. So your recovery and your nutrition around exercise. If you're getting extreme fatigue after exercise, then I would be considering, well, am I eating enough prior to exercise? Am I eating enough post-exercise? So what's my nutrition looking like around exercise? Especially when people train fasted and then don't eat adequate amount after, then you will get that fatigue, obviously. So commonly underfueling in carbs is what I see across the board in most women, especially when they're training in the morning. So I would say have your adrenal cocktail or have half a banana with a little bit of high protein yogurt before you walk out the door, just to put a little bit of carbohydrates, glycogen, so a bit of sugar into the system to help you train better and also to stop that strain on the adrenal glands as well. Because if you don't have fuel in you, the body's got to output cortisol to help give you energy, all right? So aim for, like I said earlier, that 2-to-1 or that 3-to-1 ratio around exercise. You can really bump up your carbs pre and post workout because you're so receptive to that sugars in the blood, because your body, your muscles are asking for it. It's very different if you're having a really high carbohydrate meal and you're not exercising, because that blood sugar obviously has got to be regulated by insulin. But if your muscles are hungry and if you're moving, that's just going to help mop up any extra sugar in the blood. So the concept around diabetics or women with PCOS that is insulin driven is go for a 10-minute walk after a meal, because it's going to help regulate those blood sugar levels. So your things, your carbs, your protein, your fluid are really, really important. Your fats are not important around training, and your fiber, you tend to limit a bit just because you're trying to get the sugars into the muscles a lot faster, and fiber will slow down that process. So that is different than just eating quote-unquote normally. Your pre and post workout meals tend to be a little bit more focused on getting quick carbs into the system. So your rice, your potatoes, your bananas, your fruit might be 1 to 2 hours before a meal, before a training session, and you could have your juice intra-training or right before training, or if you're walking straight out the door, you could definitely have something quick digesting as well. So they're the big ones when it comes to fatigue: blood sugars, hormones, sleep, exercise, recovery, nutrition there, adrenal burnout, and then going through the testing and going, okay, what do my sex hormones look like? What does my adrenal pattern look like? What does my DHEA look like? What does my liver functioning look like when I'm working on those things? The other element when it comes to fatigue is, like a lot of you know, on low iron and B12 levels definitely need to be checked as well. And also thyroid testing. So get a full thyroid panel done so that you know if that's playing a role, because it may just be a small part of the picture. It may not be the underlying or the only thing contributing to your fatigue, but I definitely see it very commonly in women that they have antibodies that might be slightly elevated, or they have lower TSH, there is something going on with their thyroid, and they might have issues with not enough iodine in their system, or like I said, low iron, low B12. These things will play a role in the fatigue as well. So even those baseline stuff that you can get through your functional blood testing are going to be really, really important as well. So those are the main things I wanted to touch on today. I hope that was helpful for you when you're starting to address brain fog and fatigue. Let me know, reach out on Instagram if you've got any questions around that. I do have other podcast episodes that go deeper into the testing side of things that you might find useful as well. Otherwise, please subscribe, rate, review the episodes and the podcast. I love hearing from you guys and also helping spread the message and get the podcast out there as well. The other ways you can connect with me is doing my IBS crash course. I'll pop the links in for that. You can join my Gut Health Solutions Facebook group for gut health recipes, tips, and tricks. And you can always book a health chat. So if you want some one-on-one help, we can jump on the phone for a quick call and brainstorm how to overcome your bloating, fatigue, and heal your hormones. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag, or share, and let's get women talking.